Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of the Royal Watcher podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the spectacular royal and noble jewels worn for Le Bal des Debutants in Paris a few weeks ago, and really the whole history behind this quite spectacular occasion.
Yeah, and for some reason this year it's been extra popular. I don't know why, but it's nice to see that we're reviving these traditions. But yeah, it's getting a lot of attention on social media, so let's cover it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on purpose. They did choose the debutantes in a way to get maximum attention, but really we've been seeing some positive attention, but a lot of kind of negative pushback on this. And I think it's a really kind of interesting thing of discussing what's the background of this and what are people's perceptions about debutante balls like this versus the reality.
Definitely. Yeah, maybe it's a way to bring it into the 21st century, or maybe it's too archaic these days.
Definitely. I think let's start off with the first slide. This, and you can see all the debutantes, which are chosen from a bunch of kind of prominent families, some of them royal and noble, which we'll discuss in the next slide. But right now I want to talk about kind of the whole background of this event. Has been going on for, I think, slightly over 20 years. And it's an annual charity event that was launched to promote prominent young women into society while raising funds for charity. This year's chosen charities were Cardiology Research Unit of the Necker Infant Malade Hospital and also the Washington-based World Central Kitchen, which provides meals to the most vulnerable in the wake of global crisis. All the kind of designers, the girls, the jewelry company, V-Muse Jewelry, they do work together to create this kind of glamorous event, but ultimately the underlying background behind it is raising funds for charity.
Yeah, and obviously the debutante ball is a very old tradition. I mean, it only stopped in the United Kingdom in the 1950s, I believe. Princess Margaret had that famous phrase, every tart in London was getting in. So it's interesting that they're not so much formal events. How to put this? They are formal, but they're not set in stone as they used to be. Like, this used to happen every year. In different courts in Europe, you know, the same way, you know, you'd have the opening of Parliament and that kind of thing. So it's very interesting now that it's being revived.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where I think there's been so much popularity recently of debutante culture, especially after the release of Bridgerton and that sort of thing. Mm. And to see kind of a modern reiteration of it is very interesting because it's very removed from that kind of his traditional historical way it was handled, but still they retain some of those elements and try and bring it to the 21st century with the charitable part of it.
Yeah, it seems to be very popular and on the rise. It's, I mean, Le Bal is probably the most international one. I know there is the London season that happens here. It's probably not quite as well known as the Parisian one. But then, you know, and then there's the New York ones that happen. Can you think of any others, Sad?
I think there's the Vienna one that happens.
Oh, there's loads in Vienna.
So, and then there's a kind of big debutante culture in the southern United States as well.
Oh, yeah.
But that's harder for us. It's not as familiar for both of us.
No, and yeah. You know, they, if they want to start wearing tiaras to that, then yeah, by all means,
yeah,
we'll get involved.
Well, sure. Yeah, and then if you move on to the next slide, you can see all the kind of girls over here. So it's very much, there's a formal element to it, but this year, I think even more than most, we're seeing a lot of behind the scenes content, and these girls, they get to know each other while kind of preparing and doing the dances, but there's kind of, unless there's any family links or kind of friendship, this is kind of a bringing together of girls of kind of similar age from different parts of the world, but all kind of very rich and from similar backgrounds. And that is an interesting kind of way where they're able to combine their kind of skill sets and highlight kind of more than just kind of their lineage or their family's status. There, each debutante also has some sort of kind of accomplishment attached to the reason why they were chosen. Because this is the only kind of invite-only debutante ball in the world where all the debutantes are chosen by the organizer rather than having to apply or being able to pay their way in.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the ultimate networking event.
Definitely. And I think it's usually the most iconic shot of each ball is the staircase one. And you can really see here is that they do seem pretty at ease with each other. So it's not like a very formal affair where they're just doing it for the sake of the pictures. It has kind of a lot of different meaning behind it.
Yeah, it definitely looks formal but informal at the same time.
Definitely. And then on the next slide, we can see kind of the main royal noble debutantes, who included Archduchess Ediko of Austria, Princess Lisi Selesi of Ethiopia, Countess Lara Cosima Hanko von Donnersmarck, and Marchesa Barbara Berlinger among the debutantes, while the cavaliers, who are chosen also by the organizers but have kind of a less prominent role, included Archduke Karl Constantine of Austria, Prince Constantine d'Orléans, the Marquess of Lorne, who's the heir of the Duke of Argyll, and you can see in this image over here, as well as Count Rudolf de Hermicourt, Count Ivan de Poligny, and Don Vittorio Raffo di Calabria. So really, it is does have kind of a lot of kinds of industry and stuff, but there is still very much a traditional royal and aristocratic base running through it, and those are the people that do get highlighted the most, especially in today's overview of all the royal and noble jewels worn for the ball.
Yeah, and it was wonderful to see you know, not only the girls but also the boys coming dressed up to the nines. I mean, the Marquess of Lorne on the left-hand side there came in full Scottish Highland. Is it Highland dress? Highland?
Yes, it is, yeah. And it's the famous Argyle tartan.
Yep, he went all out.
He really did. And he was there last year as well because he escorted his cousin. And then this year he was escorting another random debutante.
Okay.
Very interesting. And then we move on to our first kind of glimpse at these were all the jewelry loaned by Vimuse Jewels to the girls at the ball. And one of the most common misconceptions I kept on seeing online were that these tiaras and everything had been bought by the girls. Some say, especially for this event, or they were like old family heirlooms, and it was like a flaunting of wealth, and there was a lot of kind of negative coverage around that. But all of these jewels were loaned by this company, who have acquired lots of royal and noble jewels over the years. And this was kind of the most interesting part, because these are historic heirlooms, and they have kind of tried to make some sort of connection between the wearer and the history of the piece that they're wearing. So I find that kind of very fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I do like debutante balls. I find them, you know, very interesting, sort of very reminiscent. But once the pictures started coming out of the jewelry the girls were wearing, it was kind of like, I know that one. Wait, I know that one too. Wait, how did they get that? The ones that you can see on the screen now, there's what, one, two, three jewels there, maybe four, from the auction of Marie Antoinette, the famous Sotheby's Bourbon Palmer auction that happened in 2018, I believe.
Yes.
So obviously watching this and seeing all these jewels coming out, it was like, who is Vimuse Jewelry? I need to speak to these people.
I know. And I mean, we have reached out to them. They were quite happy to talk to us when this came out, but we haven't yet heard back from them.
Please talk to us.
Yes, please.
Please.
So I think let's start off by individually discussing who wore what jewel. This is Archduchess Ediko of Austria, who's the daughter of Archduke Georg of Austria and Duchess Ediko of Oldenburg. Her father is the brother of the head of the House of Habsburg, and he's also the Hungarian ambassador to France.
Wow.
So her sister was at the ball last year. Her brother was escorting our next lady. So the family is very much connected. With her was Prince Constantine d'Orléans, and his sisters have also been presented at the ball. So she is wearing this spectacular tiara from the Orléans-Braganza royal family, which belonged to the grandmother of King Juan Carlos of Spain, who you can see in the picture over here, and that's inset on the far left. And then she left the tiara to her daughter, who was married to the head of the Brazilian royal family. In 1972, that tiara was given as a wedding gift to her daughter, Princess Maria de Gloria, when she married Crown Prince Alexander of Yugoslavia. And that tiara was retained by her. She probably wore it to Princess Anne's wedding ball 50 years ago. And then in 1982, I believe, she sold it at auction at Sotheby's. And it was recently auctioned at Christie's in 2018, when it seems to have been acquired by Vimy's Jewelry.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, fascinating piece. And I believe our friend David's written a whole article on it on your blog, hasn't he, said?
Yes, he has. So anyone wants to check it out, it's called the Orlene Braganza Tiara. And you can see all this pair of pictures that have been worn for several occasions throughout history. You know, it is quite a lovely piece. People did criticize the tiara here a bit, but I mean, I did feel that it did suit her and the tiara itself.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of our complaints are about tiara hairs, but maybe we're just going to have to get used to the fact that we don't get big bouffants anymore.
That's true. And then Prince Constantine was also wearing this diamond fleur-de-lis brooch, which it seemed very familiar, and I haven't yet had time to track it down, but I have a feeling it might be that from that famous kind of Napoleonic Austria sale that was sold at Sotheby's a few years ago.
Ah, yes, and I can see he's matched it with a Casio.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
It's very much the Gen Z royals.
Very much so.
Yeah, and then we move on to our next lady, who was very much, I think, the star of this year's Le Ball. She was the diamond of the season, as
Bridgerton folks they would say call in it. Bridgerton, and yeah, I think she's top deb, as they used to say.
Countess Lara Cosma, Henkel von Donner's mark. She is a TikTok star, and I'm afraid she is very much on the attack, the victim of the attacks of quite a lot of people on TikTok for no other reason than the fact that she's rich and she's pretty.
So. Yep. She might have a slightly controversial family. Let's not lie about it. But that's not her fault, is it? Come on.
Not her fault, and she has addressed it, but people commenting all sorts of weird things in her comments should really touch for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she wore Jean-Paul Gaultier with the Coutelieu floral diamond tiara, which belonged to Baron family, and it's quite a flexible piece. It's usually worn as like a corsage or like a headpiece, but I think it does work very nice as a tiara, and her look was, I think, the most striking of the evening. And the fact that she's been so kind of publicly the face of this event, that there's so many lovely behind the scenes shots that you could see the tiara being worn. Again, the tiara hair was not the best, but it did suit her ethereal look overall.
I completely agree with that. Love the dress, which is weird for me because I don't know anything about fashion, but I love the tiara, and I think it's a wonderful look on her.
Definitely. And she was escorted by Archduke Karl Constantine of Austria. He's the brother of Archduke Ildiko, and he's a big kind of figure in the equestrian world.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so, but he's still only 17.
Well, then we look forward to his future.
And Archduchess, Countess Lara, she was an intern at Dior, and her TikToks are all kind of about her fashion world, and also, and that does gain quite a lot of criticism, but she's a really kind of fascinating person to follow, so I recommend checking her out. And in the next slide, we can see kind of another guest who is Princess of Ethiopia. She's a granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter of Emperor Haile Selassie. And she was not wearing anything notable, but her, as you can see in the middle picture, she is accompanied by her parents and her sister. And her mother wrote a very lovely message to me afterwards. So I wanted to include her in here.
Oh, lovely. What did she say?
So she was very much, thank you so much for highlighting our time at Le Ball. And she was really kind of thankful for the coverage and all the pictures that we uploaded on the Royal Watcher.
Oh, that's quite nice, isn't it? And who's her dashing young beau?
That is Harper Peck, who's the grandson of Gregory Peck.
The actor.
The actor.
Wow. Okay. So,
again, very well connected.
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers are. And then we can move on to the next debutante, who is someone from Italy, Marchesa Barbara Berlingeri. And she is wearing, again, one of those famous jewels from the Bourbon Parma sale, this magnificent ruby and diamond brooch slash hair ornament. And It was belonged to Archduchess Maria Anna of Austria, who married the head of the Bourbon Parma royal family. And it is quite a small piece, but very striking.
Very striking. I will admit my ignorance. I didn't even know you could. It had been previously worn as a hair ornament. So when I saw her picture, I was like, what's that on her head? Oh, it's that brooch. Yeah. But now I can see from the picture that it has and can be worn in the hair.
Now, and it is quite striking. I think her images were, because it's such a unique piece, it really stood out. As it's, since it's not a traditional tiara, but it made quite a statement.
Indeed.
And her cavalier was her brother, Marquis Alberto.
Oh.
So, no, quite a striking look from her. And the next kind of major royal jewel that we saw was on Countess Honor d'Andelou Homburg, who was wearing the kind of big diamond earrings from the Bourbon Parma sale, which belonged to Marie-Thérèse of Savoy, Duchess of Parma, who was the grandmother of the last Duke of Parma. And they are really one of those massive diamonds and the standout features of that Bourbon Parma sale.
They are. And the rumor was that the stones, at least, may have been actually owned by Marie Antoinette. Not the earrings, but some of the diamonds.
Which was really kind of, her parents are French, so that, again, they really look at the links here, because the Bourbon Parmas were Italian, which is why that it made the connection made sense in the last slide. This, because the Marie Antoinette link, the French connection makes sense. So they do think about which debutante gets what jewel. So
Yeah, good choice.
Definitely. And then we move on to my kind of favorite piece, which is the magnificent Orleans emerald necklace that was worn by Pakistani debutante Hannah Hossain, along with her Elie Saab gown. And it is one of the most historic pieces because it apparently originates from Queen Marie Emily of France, and it is almost 200 years old. It was given as a wedding gift to Princess Helene d'Orléans, who married the Duke of Aosta. She sold it at some point in the 30s to Sybil Sassoon, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley, and who famously loaned it in 1953 to Lady Churchill when she received the Nobel Prize on behalf of Winston Churchill.
Wonderful. And now we see it again on this lovely young lady.
And I believe it's belonged to the Qatar royal family for a couple of years, and then they sold it in 2019 when it was sold for like over 2 million euros. And now it belongs to Vmuse Jewelry, and it's worn by Hannah Hossain, who I recently found out that, from my grandfather, that we kind of know the family socially. So,
well, there we go. Next time you bump into her, you can ask her about it.
Definitely. So, no, that was, I think this was the most kind of historic piece, and to see it worn was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the next slide, we see, Avendisha Birla, who came from one of India's oldest business families. I believe her dad over here is worth over $18 billion.
Peasant then.
Yes. So she wore the famous kind of diamond necklace from the Bourbon Parma sale, which used to belong to the Duke de Berry, and is, again, one of those famous jewels from the French monarchy that did pass on. And I believe because the original did not have the pendant attached, but to see it worn with the pendant, it's much more striking in real life than it seemed in the pictures.
Yeah, and I always thought it was quite a small necklace, but as you can see on this nice young lady, it's quite substantial. So
definitely. No, it's, I think, one of the most kind of interesting pieces, which I was not necessarily like a fan of it before, but to see it worn, it does really bring it to life.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, and in the next slide, we can move on to see this spectacular emerald and diamond tiara, which was worn by Angelina Jordan, who I believe is Norwegian, and she was a contestant on some singing competition a couple of years ago. And this used to belong to a royal family. It was sold at Christie's in 2018. And I don't know what happened. All the other debutantes wore the same gown for the photo shoot and the ball. But Angelina Jordan had a dress change because the photo shoot is taken a few days prior. And there must have been some dress mishap because she was in a totally different gown for the ball.
That tiara is wonky and it's annoying me. Sorry.
Yes.
So it is. Possibly when she changed her dress, she knocked the tiara sideways, but or maybe it's done on purpose and I'm just old and I don't understand the young people and their fashion.
It's not the sort of tiara one should wear with your hair down, I feel. It needs something to back it up. It's too many big gaps in between.
Yeah, but like we said, those bouffants aren't coming back, sad, so we've got to make our peace with this.
Yes, we do. As long as there, we get tiaras.
Exactly, exactly.
And then we move on to another piece from the Bourbon Parma sale, which was worn by debutante Louisa Dubb. And this was described by Archduchess Maria Anne, who wore it quite often, as a large brooch with pendants set with diamonds. The brooch was given by Duke Charles II of Bourbon Parma as a wedding gift to Duchess Maria Pia. And it was then given to me as a wedding gift by my husband, who had inherited it from his mother. And this was part of the Bourbon Parma sale and sold for quite a lot of money. But to see it worn, at first I thought it had a pearl pendant. And I was like, no, it can't be that famous kind of pendant from the sale. But no, it turns out it was that.
Yeah, and it's just the amount of jewelry from that sale that, you know, VMuse is, I assume, owns or is, you know, has got very good connections. It's astounding.
Definitely, no, because that sale was like absolutely massive. That Marie Antoinette pearl from that sold for a record-breaking 32 million euros.
Yeah.
And see kind of how many of the other jewels that they've acquired, which are a pretty kind of good provenance. And this is like not a company that we hadn't really heard of.
Nope.
I don't know, last year when they loaned a few more jewels to Laval. But I find it kind of quite interesting.
Very.
Yeah. And then finally, we can move on to the last piece, which is this diamond necklace tiara that was also sold at a Christie's sale in 2018. The same one as the emerald tiara and the Bourbon and the Orleans tiara in the first slides. Same sale. So they bought this necklace tiara, which was worn by another debutante. And again, they wore it both as a tiara and a necklace last year. So to see it just as a necklace was a bit underwhelming, though it is quite a big piece.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, like, yeah. Again, you'd have to have the hair for it, but it's very substantial. So you don't really lose much when it becomes a necklace. It is quite a nice piece.
Yeah, no, it is. And this was worn by Roxy Zhao, who comes from a Hong Kong family, I believe.
Wonderful. So, I love her dress.
A huge mix of kind of debutantes of different backgrounds and different areas. And then the jewels that they've tried to kind of connect. And then we move on to the last, I think we move on to the next one as well. And next slide. And then, so Sam, what was kind of your general thoughts about this ball?
Well, as I said, I've always been a fan of sort of debutante balls. I like that high society kind of history. I do think it's interesting that it is back, and it's back in quite a big way. I mean, I've always known about them, but I suppose more of like the TikTok generation is becoming more aware of it with the old money aesthetic hashtags that's doing the rounds on there. But I think the thing I took away from it was just the sheer amount of historical jewelry that was at this event. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was my main takeaway, because we've both been kind of aware, being in kind of the places that we research and people interact with, about Le Bal and kind of the history behind it. But just the sheer amount of royal jewelry we've been seeing has been amazing for the past 2 years. And it seems VMuse is the permanent sponsor of Le Bal, so we're going to continue to see more and more royal jewelry loaned to this for years to come.
Yes, and as we said before, could we talk to you? Please?
And please, could you talk to the hairdresser as well?
Well, like I say, we've got to, you know, these young girls, they know what they're doing, so good luck to them.
I think one of the things that was my main takeaway about this entire thing and the way it was publicized all over TikTok, and there was one stan who was very much, oh, wow, look, there's a ball happening and there's all these pretty young ladies and countesses and all these tiaras and jewels. And those that kind of had a bit of an understanding about the background of this. And then there were others who were just going on it just on face value, seeing a picture and making this whole kind of, oh, these people are bloodsuckers and
out of touch and elitist. And it's like, yeah, it always has been. This isn't new.
This isn't new. And the fact that they're just finding out about this. And it, I felt like rather than like a place of genuine, like, want for change or anything, or like having a proper argument against something like this, they just came from a place of jealousy and just resentment.
And actually, if you looked back on the old debutante balls, you know, these girls are from different backgrounds. They're from different countries, different religions, probably. Different social standing. You've got daughters of industrialists and businessmen. Yes, you've got the aristocracy. You're always going to have the aristocracy, but actually this is a really good reflection of, you know, yeah, the 1%, but the 1% is, compared to what it was, you know, 70 years ago, is much more inclusive now.
Exactly. And I think you're always going to see this is, of course, these are mega rich people. But to see some sort of kind of representation, and then the charitable aspect of it was also pretty important in the fact that it's not just a kind of party for the rich and famous just for the sake of it. There is a bit of a purpose. The designers and all the kind of this whole is meant to, in a sense, portray couture, show to society and in the papers, bring some attention upon these families and also the sources that they're patronizing.
Yeah, so it's a good time had by all. And let's hope, you know, I hope they raised a lot of money for their charities. Hope everyone had a nice time. And yeah, looking forward to next year's one already.
Definitely, yeah. I think this time the TikTok crowd has really made this ball blow up. So yeah. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the end of today's episode. Thank you, Sam, for your lovely commentary.
Yes, I hope some people found it interesting and not banal or boring.
Yes, and we've been seeing the comments. We know.
That's it. I had to get it in there.
Yes, you did.
That's it. Anyway, speak to you all next time.
Bye-bye.